who sent me draws them, and I will raise you up on the last day. So salvation is an initiative of God. He takes the initiative. We have to respond to that, of course. And we have our own will that has its part to play in that. So tonight I'm just going to sort of bring out some sort of God moments in my life that brought me to that place where I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And just going through it the other night with Karishma and Thomas, just trying to going through the steps. I wasn't brought up in a religious home. My parents traveled a lot, so I lived a very nomadic life as a child. And when we were in Africa, I was about six. My mother felt the need to buy me a Bible just to introduce me to Christianity, and because we didn't have any kind of church set up at all. And I, even at that young age of six, felt a real love for the Bible. So I had a faith, I think, even as a young boy. But then obviously, as time went on, I ended up, well away from where God would have me be. I went to boarding school in Devon. My parents were traveling a lot. Every 2 years, they would move countries. So I was educated in Devon from the age of about 10 till I left after O-levels when I was about 16, 17. I was quite rebellious at school. Was very anti the establishment sort of thing. So I left boarding school and went to a college in Brighton when I was 17 to do my A-levels. And it was there that I was introduced into the world of drugs and, everything else that goes with that situation. So for about the next 7 years, I was very much into that kind of thing. So drugs and experimenting with all the different drugs and what have you. Completely flunked my A-levels. I went to the Middle East and worked as a photographer for a year, and then I started traveling. And the journey took me 5.5 years of just traveling. And I started off in Brazil, and from there I worked my way around, sleeping rough, living on a dollar a day, often just crashing out under trees, in doorways, on the beach, and just basically working here and there whenever I could find a job. So it was quite a rough type of style of travel. the next point, so that was when I was six, I got that God moment with the Bible. And then it was when I was about 21, I was in Peru. And I was into photography, so I was trying to get to a very remote village up in the Andes where I wanted to photograph a community of people who had no real contact with the Western world, just to build up my portfolio. And I was really interested in very remote cultures and isolated communities. So I was making my way to this community with a guide, a Peruvian guide who was a policeman. And en route to there, we went through this tropical valley, and there was a little farmer who was a coffee grower, incredibly poor, just had a little shack, and they had one piece of furniture, which was the bed, and he lived there with his wife, and they just had a few guinea pigs running around, because that's what they used to, that was their source of meat, was guinea pig now and again. And he invited us to stay with him the night. So we stayed there that night, and during the course of the evening, we'd eaten, and he asked the policeman to read to him the Bible. He brought out this Bible, and he asked the policeman, could you please read to me? Because he was illiterate, he couldn't read. And a year before, a missionary had gone through the valley preaching the gospel and giving Bibles to all of these people. And sadly, most of them couldn't read, which was a real shame. Anyway, I was sat in this mud hut looking at this old chap, listening to the Bible being read to him. And it was quite a profound situation. And I was just looking at his face. And I was very interested in this whole thing, and I just became aware that this man, his face was almost like, I don't know, it was almost glowing, it wasn't, but I felt a serenity and a peace. And he had this wonderful smile as he was listening to the word of God being spoken to him. And I was just thinking, this guy's living in this hut with nothing, absolutely nothing. And yet he's got something that I don't have. And I said, and it's got something to do with that Bible. I remember thinking that night. And it was just one of those profound little moments where you start to think. And I was on a journey myself. I was looking for, you know, I guess I was looking for truth and looking for God myself. And so that was just one of those little God moments that came to my memory, actually, after you become a saved. You look back in your life and you start to see how God was kind of reeling you in slowly with these different situations. After I lost everything in Peru, I got robbed and ended up with absolutely nothing. And I had to come back to the UK. And then from there, I went back out to California, where I'd met somebody in Bolivia who was working in the marijuana industry in California, and he invited me out. So I ended up going back to California to work within the marijuana industry, and I lived with a community of people. It's they weren't like real criminals, gangsters, and people like that. These were all very middle class kind of individuals. They were people who just had enough of the city and just wanted to live in the countryside, and this was a way they made their living, you know. So it was a very unusual kind of situation. But it was during that my time with these people that I really began seeking God. And I was using drugs. I've been pretty well kind of, drugs were a major part of my life for about 7 years. And while I was there, I was experimenting with LSD and heroin and cocaine and all of them really. And it was through the drugs that I became aware of a spiritual dimension, although it wasn't the right spiritual dimension, but it was almost a way of, you know, I was learning about the things of the spirit realm, if you like. And so I became seeking God, and it was during that time I was into yoga and meditation and looking into all of the Hindu type of stuff, philosophies, and everyone had their gurus there in California. It's quite a big thing, all the New Age stuff that is going on. So I was on a quest. I was seeking the Lord, but in the wrong ways. The guy that I was actually involved with growing this stuff, he then flew to Australia. I've gone too far ahead. Okay, I did one season there, and then I hitchhiked down through Mexico. And I was in a little village and just minding my own business, and a Mexican guy came up to me and he started to share the gospel. He didn't really even get that far. He just asked me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes." I'd been confirmed and christened, you know, so, you know, as far as I was concerned, I was a Christian, although I didn't believe. Anyway, the moment I said yes, the Holy Spirit hit me like a sledgehammer. It was almost physical. I felt such conviction, such a fraud, such a hypocrite, whatever, that I could hardly stand. And I sort of, the guy was talking to me about, if you're a Christian, then you should be sharing the gospel with people, and, you know, and, you know, so, you know, I knew that I was just completely not there at all. Anyway, I went and I had to sit down and have a coffee, and my hand was shaking, and I was thinking, why do I feel like this? What is happening to me? Why do I feel this incredible conviction in my heart? So it was a bit of that was another God moment, another one of those situations where God was really beginning to work in me. About 2 weeks later, there was a young guy in that same village who I put up in my hotel room because he had nowhere to stay. And then he invited me to his home in Mexico City. And his mother invited me to church. She had been converted from Catholicism into evangelical Christianity. So I ended up in a Pentecostal sort of evangelical church in Mexico. And I was sat in the front row between these two large ladies, Latin ladies, and the guy was preaching in Spanish. And after a while, I just switched off because I couldn't keep up. My Spanish wasn't good enough. Anyway, after a while, you know, and I was daydreaming, drifting off somewhere. And then after a while, the guy had stopped preaching, and these two ladies just took one arm each, and they literally picked me up, and they carried me out to the front, and they put me down, and then they just started praying for my salvation. And by this time, I kind of was listening, and they were just pleading with God with tears. I mean, they were really, really seeking intercessionary prayer for my salvation, and so I was very moved by that. I thought, am I really that bad? You know, so it was another one of those moments where God was slowly bringing me in. Anyway, I ended up back in California after that. I hitchhiked back up to California, and I was back involved with these same people. And then the guy, after the season had finished, we were supplying this stuff to the dealers in San Francisco, and then I then flew to Hong Kong, where my parents were living in Macau. And the guy that I was working with, he went to Australia to spend some time with some friends out there. And I found a job working on a ship. It was a sailing vessel. It was an old 100-year-old sailing vessel that was built to carry coal between New Zealand and Australia. And a millionaire had bought it and made it into a very nice yacht. And so I was employed because I could sail to help sail this boat from Hong Kong down to Australia. And the first port of call that we stopped at was Macau, which is right next door to Hong Kong. So we went to Macau. My parents were living in Macau. And then just as we were leaving Macau to start the journey south towards the Philippines, my father just ran down the quay and just handed, we were literally just casting off the ropes, and he just gave me this letter, and it was from this guy from California, and the whole letter was about his testimony of how he'd come to Christ while he was in Australia. And and I thought, well, I was a bit disappointed, to be honest, because we'd been very close looking into other things, and I thought, so what's all this about? Anyway, so that was another little sign, if you like, something that happened. The journey to Australia took about 3.5 months. It was a terrible journey. And the guy who was skipping the boat was really incompetent. We hit a reef in the Philippines, and every time we stopped at a port, we lost members of the crew. So we were dwindling as we were getting closer and closer to Australia. There was just a few of us left by the time we got there. And the Lord was moving in Australia in great ways. There was a real spiritual atmosphere there, and I ended up in Perth, and I was in a cafe talking to someone, and he'd just been to New Zealand, and he was telling me about the move of God that was happening in New Zealand with Christianity. And so, I was beginning to keep hearing these things about Christianity. Okay, so I was thinking, this is happening a lot now. About 4 weeks later, I was hitchhiking north of Perth. I was making my way up north, just didn't really know where I was going. I was just traveling, just taking each day as it came. And one night, I was trying to find somewhere to sleep outside, because I never spent money on a bed. But I was getting really tired with sleeping rough. I've been doing it for so long. And I started to pray. And I said, God, please, would you just provide a bed for the night, So instead of me finding a bush and laying my sleeping bag down, I thought, well, I'll try hitchhiking one more time, because it was getting quite dark. And I was 18, which was in 78, and now we're in 1984, and I'd just been through a few God moments during that time of traveling where, the Lord was sort of reeling me in. So anyway, I prayed that night for a bed, and then I decided to try hitchhiking one more time because it was getting dark, and people don't normally pick you up at night time when you're on the road. And a car sort of shot past, and suddenly came to a halt about 100 yards up the road. And so I ran up to the car, and the guy in the car said to me, I don't normally stop to pick up people at night time, but God told me to stop. and pick you up. And, you know, and I was thinking, oh no, we have a loony here. You know, even though I just prayed, for a bed. Anyway, he said, look, get in, and where are you going? I said, well, I'm just going to the next town. I'm just looking for somewhere to stay the night. And he said, it was him and his wife, and they said, well, we're going to a concert, and we would like you to come with us. And it wasn't really a concert, it was a Christian meeting. I think he was trying to, you know, get me to go with him. So we ended up in this church, and it was a strange experience. There were a lot of people there all praying in tongues, and it was not the normal Christian thing that I've been familiar with, you know. But I was quite interested, and I was surrounded by about four or five of these people who were all basically telling me that I needed to repent, that I needed to get saved, and that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to the Father except through him. And I was arguing with them all night, and I was saying, no, Jesus isn't the only way, there are other ways, and I'm on my journey, you're on your journey, and, you know, please leave me alone, I'm happy with where I am. So I argued, and I argued really on that one point, but that night, I was struggling. They did give me a bed, and I was really struggling that night, and there was this battle going on in me, and I was thinking, this name of Jesus was really bothering me. It was like, really, I hated it. And I thought, well, this is rational. Why do I have such a hatred for the name of Jesus? I mean, what's going on? So that sort of got me thinking that maybe there is something in this. I don't know. Anyway, the next day was Sunday, so they took me to church. And the first session was a teaching session. And the guy was teaching on the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And he was describing what it was like. And what he was teaching was exactly what I was going through while I was listening. So I was getting this conviction, this stabbing in my heart, this feeling of uncomfortable, short of breath. You know, it was all of those things. And it was like God was really, really hammering me while I was there. We then had the Sunday service after that. And at that point, I did go forward and give my life, well, I didn't give my life to the Lord, but I did say the sinner's prayer. Nothing happened. And after that, I had lunch with them, and I said to them, right, I need to get away from you. Give me a Bible, and I will give God 2 weeks to show me that Jesus is the way. I thought, I don't want to listen to you anymore. I've heard it all, and I just want now God to show me one-to-one. And it was a very sincere quest for truth, actually. I was totally sincere, and I was willing to spend 2 weeks in the middle of nowhere just seeking God, just me and the Bible and him. And if nothing happened, then I would just walk away and I would forget it completely. I would say within 24 hours, I was a changed person. I was in a very remote area, and I was hitchhiking now, but I was reading the Bible, and I found that I couldn't stop reading it. And I gave up hitchhiking in the end. I just sat by the road reading the Bible, and the words were becoming living, you know, and they were beginning to impact my heart. And God was showing me, you know, the salvation that was through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These verses were just jumping out and just sort of hitting me. And in the end, I did get a lift to a really remote area. And it was in an iron ore sort of mining area. And I built a huge bonfire, and I kept reading into the night till about 3 o'clock in the morning. And just reading and reading. I just couldn't stop reading the word. And the next day, a car pulled up, and there were two guys in it. And I was explaining earlier that I was well into drugs for about 7 years. In fact, I was involved in dealing with the stuff and all that. And the two guys in the vehicle, the first thing they did was to light up a joint, you know. And, you know, because I'd been doing it for so long, it was the most natural thing just to partake. So I partook of it, and I felt really awful. For the first time, I hated the sensation of being under the influence of this stuff. And eventually they dropped me off, and I found a stream where I was able to go for a swim and just kind of clear my head. And I could not touch it again after that moment. But I still, you know, I still wasn't quite there. You know, God was changing me, but I still hadn't quite come in fully. Anyway, about 10 days later, I was on a beach, and I was praying to God that I needed someone to talk to because I couldn't relate to anybody anymore. You know, I would be listening to people's conversations saying, does anybody know God? Is anybody, you know, and I felt like, you know, I was different and I didn't know why or what was going on or anything. So anyway, there was a guy on a beach, and I felt compelled to go and talk to him. And I just introduced myself, and he said to me, you know, 3 days I gave my life to Christ. And, you know, it's like I've found the only thing that has any value in the world, and I don't need anything else now. I've got it. I've got the most important thing. And as he began to share his testimony with me, I began to believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. And it was during that conversation that the dam broke, and that the waters of living water just flowed into my spirit and my soul, and I became born again. My eyes were opened. It was like scales came off, and I could see for the first time. It was a very powerful, wonderful sort of conversion. And I was thinking, why couldn't I not have seen this before? It was so obvious. It was just like, duh, why couldn't I have seen it? And you know, it's just how blind, you know, Jesus came to give sight to the blind, and he opened my eyes that day. And that's when I became a new creation. And you know, the old Ian died on the beach. And there was no nice little altar call.
Hallelujah.
There was no sort of, you know, gentle music and no ice. You know, there was no sinner's prayer, which you don't actually find in the Bible, actually. It was just confession, belief, and the power of the Holy Spirit came and just radically transformed my life. And the guy didn't have a clue. In fact, none of the people that I mentioned in this journey knew what the impact that they were. So those of you who, you know, we don't know what's happening when we're talking to other people about the Lord. And he had no idea. He thought I'd been saved ages, you know, but because I was just agreeing and just saying, yeah, you're right, it's true, I agree with you, yeah, Jesus is the Lord, you know. And so it was on a beach in Australia where I came to Christ. And I was in Australia 6 months, went back to Macau. My mother came to Christ just after that. And then I came back to England thinking I'd go into the ministry, and God sent me to study optics for some reason. So I didn't go to Bible college. I went to a college to learn how to be an optician. But out of that, Mission for Vision came. And that's my ministry, is where I take the gospel to Africa, and we do optometry, and we use that as a means to share the gospel, and we do Bible, we do pastors' conferences with that. So, yeah,
that's my testimony.
Yes. So thank you. Yeah.